Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Last Sunday afternoon, as we stood in line to purchase our Christmas tree, I heard a familiar phrase from someone standing in a line a few feet over. "I don't know why we had to do this today," the man began, before finishing with, "It's too early to start thinking about Christmas." As we make our journey over the next few weeks toward the stable in Bethlehem, one symbol of our faith will be preeminent. That, my friends, is the symbol of light. Tree lights, candle lights, Advent candle lights, even the stars in the heavens, and the star, of course, that the wise men followed on that holy night, all of us remind us of light. It is perhaps a parable of our times that we're rarely without some form of light. We have Thomas Edison to thank for that. It is said that after thousands of experiments, when he finally achieved this monumental breakthrough that would affect all of human history, he heard the shrill voice of his wife call out, "Tom, for goodness sakes, would you turn that light off and come to bed?" Even on the darkest night in most communities in our land, there is artificial light everywhere. Street lights, car lights, neon signs. We rarely experience the disarming quietude of total darkness. We have so much artificial light that we can hide from the darkness that otherwise would envelope us. A parable, perhaps, of the inner darkness, emptiness, and meaningless of modern humanity. The biblical writers were more conscious, perhaps, than we of the significance of darkness and light. The shepherd on the hillside had no light except that of his fire. The traveler had better make his progress while the sun was still in the heavens, for there were no lights for traveling at night. Besides, in the darkness of the night hid thieves. A lone pilgrim on foot was very vulnerable under such conditions in ancient times. Thus, it was the biblical writers that described the difference that the coming of Christ could make in a person's life. It was the difference between darkness and light. Darkness with all its confusion and dread, and light with all its promise and warmth. Thus, Isaiah in our scripture this morning beckons us to walk in the light of the Lord. Indeed, the first word that God spoke was, "Let there be light." I suspect that the scientists among us would have no difficulty with that. The creation of the universe is the triumph of light and life over darkness and chaos. That's the basic message of the entire Bible. God can light up an entire universe. God can set stars many times the size of our sun in the galaxies of indescribable dimensions, billions and billions of miles apart. Yet with all God's infinite power and might, there is one little corner of creation that God cannot reach without our help, and that is the darkness of our own heart. We have to open the door for the light to shine in. We have to move out from the dark corners where we're hiding into God's glorious light. That is Isaiah's Christmas message. God cannot take that step for us. We must take it for ourselves. Imagine the agony of God as God surveys the darkness of life on our planet. Imagine God's helpless despair as God watches bombs maim and destroy. As God hears the cries of starving children. As God beholds all the cruelty and decadence of which humanity is fully capable. Imagine God's chagrin as God weighs my life and yours. We who are so fortunate, we who have so much potential, so many opportunities for making this a better world in God's name. Yet often, we waste our lives in the frivolous pursuit of status, of pleasure, and of material gain, none of which are ultimately fulfilling or lasting. Come, walk in the light. That is the summons for the day, but we hold back. You see, we misunderstand the function of God's judgment. God's judgment comes not as a retribution, but as redemption. God wants to save us from ourselves. As a physician seeks to remove a deadly spot from our body, God wants to remove a dark and deadly spot from our soul. Not for God's sake, but for our sake. God has already forgiven us our sins. The cross is a sign and symbol of that. Still, we carry within our breast that destructive urge that can cause havoc in our lives, in our families, in our communities, and even in our nation. Isaiah writes, "He shall judge the nations and shall decide for many people." What is the consequence of this judgment? They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You see, the coming of light is not only the coming of judgment, but it's also the coming of salvation. Wouldn't you like to live in a world where there's no war, no more killing, no more hatred? Wouldn't you like to live in a city like that? Wouldn't you even love to live in a home where there's not anger, no words of spite, where people always loved and believed and supported one another? Let's go one step further then. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in with your own heart all fear and all anger and all hurt could be dispelled? Come walk in the light is what Isaiah calls to us. You see, light is essential to growth and healing. Darkness stunts growth and can lead to death. The act of salvation is intended to increase our joy, not diminish it. "I have come that they might have life," said Jesus, "and have it more abundantly." Can't you see that the only obstacle to peace within our hearts and our homes and our world is that many of us are still clinging to darkness? If we could but let go and live gloriously, triumphantly, without apology or compromise in this light, can we not see what a difference it would make in our lives? We would be healthier. We would be happier. We would be a blessing to all around us. The call to walk in the light is a call to be real, a call to accept ourselves as God accepts us. We don't have to hide in the shadows, clinging to the last vestiges of darkness. We discover the joy of being loved, of being accepted, of accepting ourselves, of being delivered from the darkness within. The coming of light is the coming of judgment and the coming of salvation. For the Christian, however, the coming of light is the coming of a person. That is what this special season is really all about. The light that shines in the darkness is Jesus. As the Old Testament drew to a close, it was clear that something greater than a prophet was needed if the darkness of men's souls was to be alleviated. The Old Testament prophets were very vague in their description of the one who was to come, but they were in agreement that God would not forsake his people. Out of the house of David would come a Messiah, the chosen one, the one chosen by God. In the New Testament, the angel tells Mary that he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The coming of the light is the coming of Jesus, the coming of Jesus Christ into our world. He is our light. He is our life. He is more wonderful than the prophets even described him. Jesus is our assurance, our hope, and our peace. A father and two children, a boy of 8 and a girl of 10 years, all good swimmers, entered the water of the Atlantic at a New Jersey seashore resort a few summers ago. When some distance from the shore, they became separated, and the father realized they were being carried out to sea by the tide. The father called out to the girl, "Mary, I'm going to shore for help. If you get tired, turn on your back. You can float all day on your back. I'll come back for you." Before long, many searchers in boats were scurrying over the face of the Atlantic, hunting for one small girl, while hundreds of people to whom the news had spread waited anxiously on the shore. It was 4 hours before they found her. Far from land, she was calmly swimming on her back and was not at all frightened. Cheers and tears of joy and relief greeted the rescuers with their precious burden as they came back to the beach. The child took it calmly. She said, "Daddy said he would come back for me and that I could float all day. So I swam and I floated because I knew my daddy would come." the prophet knew Jesus would come. Too early to start thinking about Christmas? Do you really think so? Amen.